Thank you.
Good afternoon. Several years ago, a colleague of mine gathered the work team together to solicit prayers for a coworker who had just suffered a heart attack. And in the back, I heard, well, why pray for her? What good is it going to do? God will not do anything. She's probably going to die anyway if I pray or not. Prayers will not matter. Wow. I mean, what would your reaction be if you heard somebody say that in that situation? I mean, what could you say to them? Could you ever reach that person? And truly, I was surprised by where it came from, because, you know, I turned and I always thought, wow, I knew that person to be a Christian. In fact, I thought they were a good, strong Christian. And what was so scary was where that came from. Those feelings, they were mine. Have you ever gone through a period like this? A time in your life where the foundation of your faith has been shaken? Where doubt, for some reason, intruded into your life? I mean, later, I felt very guilty. I mean, how dare I doubt God? How wrong that must be. I mean, what a lack of faith. How angry God must have been with me for expressing that. I mean, think about all the great examples of faith in the Bible. People like Moses and David and Joshua and Abraham. I mean, think of the people in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. I mean, why couldn't I be like those people? Have you ever felt like I did? Shame, guilt, disgrace for a doubtful thought? For doubting is such a wretched thing, isn't it? I mean, doubting is wrong. It shows a weak faith. It insults God. It is sinning against God. I mean, how dare we even feel that way? Well, is it wrong? Is it sin? I mean, God is perfect. He doesn't lie or exaggerate. He doesn't break his promises. He doesn't need to cover up any sin or wrongdoing. I mean, everything that God does is right. Everything that he says is true. God is holy and perfect. There is no unrighteousness in him. So how could we ever doubt God? And yet in our lives, it happens. Well, how do we deal with it? How should we react? Do we hide? Do we put it in the back of our mind and hope it never happens again? Do we lose a part of our faith that will never come back? Do we just never deal with it? Or do we go to God and simply say, forgive me, God, for I have sinned? Well, I would like to show you today that every one of those choices, even asking God to forgive you for your sin of doubting, is the wrong choice to make. Because doubting is not sin. It is a typical element in your Christian journey. So my goal today is not to encourage you to doubt. And I'm not suggesting that we all go around and start doubting God for everything he does. But when doubt does intrude in your life, we should use that as a force. We should accept it and use it as a force that can really deepen our faith. Because doubt is certain to happen in our spiritual life. And if we handle it wisely, it really is a precious opportunity for spiritual growth. In fact, denying doubt, hiding from it, not dealing with it, not admitting it, is very, very dangerous, because it leads to one or two things. One, an immature faith, or two, spiritual numbness. Well, first of all, what is doubt? And I think there's three areas that we can look at. First of all, doubt is not unbelief. And by unbelief, I mean a deliberate denial or disobedience, a rebellion or resistance to God and his word. That is clearly sin. Second, The form of doubt that might sneak up on all of us is intellectual scorn. And that comes from the absolute position that something is impossible. I mean, there's laws of nature that can't be broken. Think about the resurrection of Jesus as a frequent target, or Mary being a virgin is another one that people will just doubt. And our society is steeped in science. Events like these go against our knowledge and our experiences. And to a degree, we can't help but doubt things like that. I remember years ago when Pat Robinson was running for president. And in an interview, he stated that his prayer caused a hurricane to turn and not hit the state of Virginia. Well, the press just ruthlessly ridiculed him for that. But whether he caused it or not, when we ignore the possibility of the supernatural and miracles, we are limiting God's power and restricting really what he can do in our lives. The third area of doubt, and the one that I struggled with, is doubt that is caused by dashed hope. We don't generally set out to doubt God, but sometimes the very essence of our faith is called into question. And for many of us, life's painful events sometimes simply will catch us off guard. I mean, sometimes it can be hard to make faith fit with the painful realities that happen in our lives. I mean, during times of doubt, we may be forced to ask questions about God, about his goodness, questions about our beliefs. And from time to time, we all struggle with the faith thing, don't we? I mean, walking by faith, living by faith, it's not always easy. It can be hard. I mean, it's one thing to have faith when you're healthy and when your marriage is happy and when your career is going well. We have plenty of money and no worries about the future. But it's quite another thing to have faith when the doctor finds a suspicious lump, or when your wife tells you your marriage is over, or when your car dies and you need $2,000 to fix it and you don't have it, or when someone you love unexpectedly dies, or when your child is sick. I mean, it's easy to have faith in good times, but in times of uncertainty, in times of disappointment and fear or sorrow or pain, I mean, that's when doubts can start to creep in. Is God really in control? Is God really good? Does he really love me? Is he going to take care of me? Does God really know what he's doing? Can I trust him? Can I trust him with my health, with my marriage, with my kids, with my career, with my future? Can I trust God with my life? I mean, you start feeling like you're on your own sometimes, or God isn't there. And even if he is there, well, maybe he doesn't love me, or maybe he doesn't care. Does that sound familiar? Has that ever happened to any of you? The thoughts of doubt that I described in my introduction about my coworker happened a short time after probably one of the biggest crises of faith I had ever experienced. And I've told you about this story before, where my wife's sister was pregnant with twins, and then these tragic events led to eventually both of them dying. And I remember as things started to go wrong, both Sue and I would just pour out our hearts to God in prayer, and I was confident that the best would happen. And when events turned out worse than I could ever imagine, one died right away, and 10 long days later, the other one died. I mean, waves of powerful emotions overtook me. I felt betrayed. I was angry. I felt forgotten. How could God let this happen? And I found no explanation. And it was shortly after this we were asked to pray for a coworker. Well, that's when I experienced these waves of doubt. Many of us have experienced tragedies, tragic events in our lives. that just don't make any sense. And many of us, from one time or another, have expressed anger at God. I mean, anger and doubt really are just simply an honest admission that things don't always fit in this life. This is the doubt that I would like to address today. It is a circumstance that enters our lives, and if it's not handled properly, it can be so damaging to our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, that's, you know, the faith hall of fame in a sense. Let's look at some of the people that are in the faith hall of fame. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Moses is cited as a man of model faith. But in Numbers 11, in verse 10, it says, Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. And Moses was troubled, and he asked the Lord, why have you brought me this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you, that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all of these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant, and to the land you promise an oath to their forefathers? Where can I get meat for all of these people? They just keep wailing to me. Give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself, and the burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, then put me to death right now. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. He's in the hall of faith. Hall of Fame of faith, Moses. I mean, what's happening here is Moses was at the end of his rope. He had all that he could take, and his faith was getting very thin. He doubted God's goodness. He doubted God's power and God's love in this situation. And Moses felt here like God had abandoned him and left him to handle this situation on his own. I mean, he was completely overwhelmed by the circumstances. In fact, Moses was feeling so hopeless that even death seemed preferable to continuing in this situation. I mean, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt? I mean, if you have, you are in good company. And yet, Scripture tells us that Moses was a man of faith. Some of God's most outstanding servants went through times of doubt, times of questioning, times of spiritual confusion. In Joshua 7, verses 6 through 9, we see how Joshua doubted God in a crisis. I mean, even King David had times when he doubted God's love and concern. He doubted God's presence in his life. Why, O Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Why, O Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? I mean, all of those thoughts were expressed by David in the Psalms. The Psalms express much anger and much doubt and much disappointment. If you ever have been in doubt, even fundamental, radical doubt about God's goodness or power or wisdom or love, you are not alone. Doubt isn't a good thing in itself, and it's not pleasant or enjoyable, but it can lead to something good. It can be a necessary and beneficial step in our spiritual journey. I mean, periods of doubt are normal in the Christian life. Do you know why? Because perfect faith is something that none of us have. So, how can these seasons of doubt that enter into our lives be opportunities for spiritual growth? Well, first, it's an opportunity for spiritual growth because doubts can force you to examine what you believe. Instead of just doing what your parents did, instead of just going along with what everybody else believes, instead of just assuming what we believe, doubt forces us to ask, what do I really believe? Is my faith real? Our doubts can and must make us hungry to know God. After the twins died, I read this book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And it was highly recommended by many people. And it's written by a Jewish rabbi whose young son died, and he was really struggling with that situation. And although the book brought up many good points, and it was comforting in some areas, it had this major premise that I did not agree with, and it forced me to clarify what I believed. Well, doubt, if dealt with, forces us to start searching for answers and makes us seek God to try to understand and to know Him better. I mean, we're doing a yearly Bible reading right now, and we're in Job, and you see Job struggling with what was happening to him and expressing his feelings to God. I mean, his emotions were all over the place. What a great book. The second way that doubt can be used as an opportunity for spiritual growth is when doubt exposes wrong thinking. For example, if we live under the assumption that a good Christian will never experience loss or pain or sorrow, but when we do, we may have a crisis of faith. I mean, our doubt forces us to choose either deny God, deny that He is good and wise and in control, or change our beliefs. I mean, we get to the point where we must acknowledge that sometimes even God's chosen suffer, and for reasons that we might not fully understand. I mean, read the church prayer list. And if in that way, doubting is a stepping stone to a more mature and a deeper faith, one that is less dependent on circumstances. Doubt can cause us to re-examine our beliefs in the light of Scripture. It can force us to discard false assumptions. I remember I was watching Christian TV, and there was a cancer surgeon, oncology surgeon, who was deeply religious, had a very deep faith, and he would tell how Christians would come, and then they'd say, oh, you know, I'm not going to die of this because I'm a Christian and God's not, and how he would sort of always cringe because he saw all these people die from cancer that he thought were good Christians. So it can force us to try to get deeper understanding of what's happening and to be less dependent on external circumstances. But the third way in which doubt can become an opportunity for spiritual growth is when it forces us to become authentic with God, to communicate with God honestly. I mean, when everything's going fine, we can maintain a facade of faith. We can pretend to put up a good front, to appear to all the world like we're spiritual and devout Christians. Yet inside, maybe sometimes we have very little real spiritual life. But a time of doubt and spiritual crisis can just strip away that false front that we might have and bring us to the point of truly communicating with God from the heart. And immature faith is dangerous. We comfortably mouth a set of beliefs without passion, but if we do, it is easily threatened. Christians need to learn to ask serious questions of God, or we will always have an immature faith, a faith based entirely on external circumstances. So doubt can be used to help us grow spiritually, but how do we find our way through doubt to a mature faith? Well, let's quickly look at three strategies to help us survive and thrive when doubt enters our life. First thing to do is to realize that God is not threatened or surprised by our doubt. God has good answers to every question that we can come up with. He's not embarrassed or uncomfortable when we doubt. We can go to God in prayer with our raw feelings, just like Moses and Joshua and David did. I mean, know that God will welcome you and receive you at this time. He won't withdraw from you. He won't abandon you. He won't reject you. I mean, no matter what you say or how bluntly you say it, He's heard it all before. He knows what's in our heart, and He still loves us. Nothing can change that. The Bible doesn't warn against doubt as such. I mean, let's look at probably one of the most infamous acts of doubt in the Bible. And it's the story of one of the disciples of Jesus, the disciple Thomas. Thomas would not believe that Jesus was alive unless he could see the nail scars in his hand and the spear incision in his side, and put his fingers in them to feel them and make sure that they were real. And you can read the story in John chapter 20. And you will notice that Jesus does not rebuke Thomas. I mean, if ever the line could be used, "Do you know who I am? This is it." But instead, you know what Jesus does? He simply challenges Thomas to take the test that he suggested. He just reached out his hand and let Thomas touch his wounds. I mean, God will meet any honest seeker. My wife, Sue, had a 96-year-old grandma who passed away a few years ago. And it was funny talking to her because she thought it was wrong even to question God, to seek understanding. To even want to understand, she thought, was questioning God, and that would be wrong. But God does not want or expect us to do this. God does not expect us to be just dumb and gullible. He does not expect us to have perfect and complete faith from the get-go. God does not forbid questions. Doubting reaches beyond understanding and asks honest questions. It is an act of questioning that it's an expression of uncertainty. It is the mind asking real questions and seeking real solutions, seeking understanding. I mean, again, doubt is just simply an honest admission that things do not always seem to fit. Doubt and belief are compatible. You cannot question if you do not have beliefs. You can doubt and believe at the same time. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, and you're all familiar with the story, where immediately the father of a child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." I mean, for all the answers we have, rather significant questions still remain. Honest doubt is better than a dishonest faith. So the first thing is, God is not threatened by our doubt. He will always love us and be there no matter how bluntly we might express it to him sometimes. The second strategy to help us survive and thrive when doubt enters our life is to look back at how God has blessed us and worked in our lives in the past. When you are questioning God's goodness, write down or review mentally how God has been good to you in the past. When you are doubting God's power, review how what he has done for you in your life, what he's accomplished, how he has shown himself powerful at events in your life. God is with you. Many scriptures promise his presence. Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The third strategy to help us survive and thrive in times of doubt is to look forward by dwelling on God's promises. I mean, the more we meditate on what is to come, the less we are overwhelmed by our present circumstances. I mean, how often do we really think about eternity? I mean, not as an escape from our problems, but to look at them in a realistic way, in a realistic perspective. And the kingdom of God is real. Put whatever trials are happening in the light of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Do a couple of verses here. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In Romans 8, verse 18, one we're all familiar with, I consider that the present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I mean, read Hebrews 11 and see how God's people facing difficulties kept eternity in view. So in conclusion, when we are in a season of doubt, we may feel very alone. We may feel as though God is far away and that he cannot hear us, as if maybe sometimes he's left us to our own devices, left us to our own way to work out of this spiritual maze that we're in. But remember, doubting does not show a weak faith. It does not insult God. It is not sinning against God. It is an element in our Christian journey that really can be used to strengthen our faith. Answers in this life don't always come easy. Keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking. God is always with us, always present, always working in our lives. And God promises us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Use doubt in your life to become closer to God.